I pray in your name, Lord Jesus, and stand in the authority of that name, Lord. And we do and pray your name over our nation, Lord God. We pray your name over our families, Lord, over our unsaved friends. And we just pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come, that your life will flow. And I pray, Lord, that you will let who you are shine through us in a powerful and mighty way. Lord, would you bless us as we continue, as we dig into your word, as the kids go out to children's church. Again, Lord, we ask that you'd continue to anoint and bless and reveal yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. The time has come to release the kids. Have a wonderful time, guys. Thank you to the wonderful people who ministered to them. Well, it's been so good to enjoy each other's company. You know, our vision statement is we want to be loved by God, we want to be loving God, and we want to be loving like God, be loving like Him. And one of the things that makes us an effective witness in the world is the way we love one another. And it says in the Psalms, the righteous in the land, in them is all my delight. And the Message Bible puts it this way. It says, these God-called lives all around, what wonderful friends they make. And it's just so brilliant to get together, whether we were watching rugby or sliding around a paddock behind a quad. Our being together is all part of our witness to the world. And if we grow those genuine relationships, when the lost come in and come across us, they'll find what they're looking for, which is genuine relationship. And ultimately, that flows from being loved by God. So let's push into His presence as we go into His Word. And this morning, we're going to read from Ephesians 5, verse 15. And the Word of God says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And as you know, we've been doing a series on stewardship, and we've been looking at what a beautiful thing it is to be in relationship to the God, the Lord, the sovereign creator of all things, the owner of all things, the God who governs all the affairs of man. And so wonderful to know that we are His stewards, and that He gives to us all manner of resources so that we can live a full, abundant life as we serve Him and as we become distributors. And we saw that word steward means a distributor within the house. And we are in God's house, and He's called us to distribute those resources. And we do that according to the wisdom of the master of the house and the will of the master of the house. And this morning we're going to look at the stewardship of time. And time is a very interesting thing, and it's a poignant topic in the busyness of our world. Our world is full of so many distractions. And isn't it interesting that we've made all kinds of inventions and apps and things to make our lives easier, to make us, help us to get stuff done more quickly. And all it's done is sped everything up so that we find ourselves even more busy and even more burdened sometimes by the very tools that we invented to make time work better. And it's interesting that the constraints of time are something we weren't designed for. We were designed to live eternally. It was sin that brought death and restricted time into the world. And have you noticed, we don't fit very comfortably in time. We're either bored because we've got too much time. I can't remember when that last happened for me, except maybe when you're in some place where you haven't got a good book or something to study or whatever. Or we're too busy, we haven't got enough time, because we're not really designed to be in time. But within, the beautiful thing is though, within the constraints of this limited time period, God has actually given us a redemption of time so that we can live in the fullness. We're going to look today at what the Word of God says, and we're looking mainly at this Ephesians passage. And it's a beautiful passage. It's a short passage, but it's so packed with so much truth. And the first thing we see here is that the days are evil. The environment in which we have to manage our time is not conducive to good time management. It's an environment that's against us. And it's an environment that's almost charged with the enemy's strategy to gobble up our time, to waste our time. I don't know if you found that. Do you find that the way life is, you just find yourself with the extra time you need to develop the important relationships? You just find yourself with the time to spend with God that you want? I don't know if it's just me, but I don't think it's just me. The world is against us doing that, and we have to recognize the environment in which we're trying to do this good stewardship of time is opposed to our good stewardship of time. So it takes a concerted effort, and we have to be diligent and we have to be careful. In Vust, in the Vust translation, it says this: be constantly taking heed, therefore, how accurately you are conducting yourselves. Not unwise ones, but as wise ones. And we have to be deeply intentional about the way we manage our time, because the environment is not conducive to giving us time, to saving us time. I like the quote, "Time lost cannot be retrieved, and time cannot be hoarded. It can only be spent." And we're going to look at today, how do we spend our time, just like we spend our money, how do we spend it to get the very most that we can live in the fullness of God's plan for our life? And we go back to our passage in Ephesians to see that. And it says in verse 16, making the best use of your time. That's a very interesting word in the original language there. The word is ex agorazo. And what's interesting is the word agora in Greek is the market. And so it means out of the market. And you can see how this word evolved its meaning, because if you look at the Munster's dictionary of Bible words, it says it means to buy out of the hands of a person, to redeem, to set free, to secure for oneself or one's own use, to rescue from loss or misapplication. And it's a beautiful concept that we have to, some translations will say you have to redeem time. And if we look, it's very interesting in Galatians 4 verse 4, the scripture about what Jesus did on the cross for us, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And that word there is also that ex agorazo. Jesus came and he bought us back. He redeemed us from misappropriation by the devil. The devil had misappropriated our lives and trapped us in a futility. And Jesus came and he said, no, therefore much more than this. And he bought us back. He paid the price to get us, to redeem us for his purposes. And what he's telling us to do is we must do, as a redeemed person, as a newly reappropriated individual, we have to play our part in that by redeeming our time in the same way. We've got to buy it back. We've got to get it back for our use. And that comes from just assiduously, as it were, stewarding this precious commodity. Because it's an incredibly limited commodity. There's 24 hours in every day, 360 days in every year, and we all know we have a limited number of years in which we live. And we want to take every one of these time units and convert them into something that counts for eternity. The Amplified Bible in Ephesians says this, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. It said, we either run the day, or the day runs us. And what the scripture is saying is, we have to go, I'm going to grab a hold, I'm going to take the bull by the horns, I'm going to take this thing by the reins, and I'm going to control what happens with my time. I'm not going to let the evil days just sweep by And then I found that I've squandered a lot of my time. We find the same ideas in the Old Testament Psalm 90 verse 12. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And it's interesting that so often that concept of time is related to wisdom. And my prayer is that God will help me to have the wisdom to make good use, to number the days, to almost be hold each minute to account as we do this in our assiduous management, taking hold of those limited resources. And the beautiful thing is if we are careful about the days, the years will take care of themselves. If we want to change something in our life, we must change something in our day. The habit of how we use our day plays out in time saved, that over years it becomes a massive amount of time that we can achieve something incredible in. That if we just let it slip by, when the years are gone, that thing will be lost. But how do we determine how to use our time? What is the guide for this time management, for the prioritizing of every precious minute of our lives? We go back to Ephesians, and we'll see there in verse 17, it says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's where we come back into this beautiful understanding of our stewardship relationship before the sovereign God. How wonderful is it to know that God has a will for your life? I think one of the most value-giving truths is that the God of heaven looks down on your life and says, I've planned this. I wired you in your mother's womb. I created you. I gave you gifts. I gave you motivations. I gave you orientations. I gave you preferences. And I gave you special gifts. I gave you a unique personality. And I gave them to you because I've got this incredible plan for your life. I've got this incredible plan for an abundant life of great blessing and to be a great blessing. And if we just stop sometimes and think about a fact that we know, but just think that on the throne of heaven, God is thinking thoughts of us. Psalmist also says that the thoughts, you think so many, Lord, they're too numerable to count, but you are planning something for my life. And when we think about how we're going to use our minutes, how we're going to spend each precious hour, we need to be saying, Lord, we want to understand what your will is. So the first challenge, the first thing we have to cut out, just as we spoke about the first fruits of our income, we must do the same with our tithes. We must say, God, the first thing we're going to do with our time is sit in your presence, is abide in the vine and listen to what you have to say. We want to tap into those wonderful thoughts that you think over our lives and bring ourselves under Christ's lordship. Because Psalm 139 verse 16 says this, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that you formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And isn't that beautiful? God planned out every day, every moment of your life before you were even born. And how wonderful to be able to tap into that. Psalm 31 verse 14 says this, and this is now kind of our response to the knowledge that God has got this beautiful plan for our lives. But I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. And there's that stewardship where we say, God, we recognize you've given us the gift of 24 hours in a day, and we're going to actually give it back to you. Guide us, bring us in line with your perfect plan. My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. And so our huge priority is to spend that time with God, letting him love us, letting him speak to us. And that's not necessarily just Bible study. But that's just sitting, maybe meditating on one scripture about God's heart for you. And letting your heart feel the love. I've read passages about God's love for me so many times, and I've got it in my head. But so often I'm not living in the fullness of the joy that the God of heaven loves me. And today, this week, I was having a quiet time and I was thinking about God's plan for me. And he gave me a picture that I remember when I was a kid, a little chap. I couldn't sleep. And my father, I used to make these ship models. And my father used to come and sit late at night, and he'd sit at my desk and he'd carry on with my ship models while I fell asleep. And I just had this beautiful picture. God said to me, because I read that scripture, I will perfect everything for you. And I just felt like God said, your dad used to sit and work at the details of those models. I'm sitting. Even when you're going through a hard time, when you're lying awake, tossing, when you're battling, I'm sitting there with much more commitment than your worldly father had. I'm sitting there. I'm going to perfect it for you. And as I meditated on that picture, I just like the warmth of God's love, I felt it more than just I knew it. And sometimes it takes time just to sit and get quiet and just actually believe what he said over our lives. All those beautiful plans. A lot of what God has planned for us is clearly in the scripture. It's just general, generic instruction to us as his people as to what to do. So just by reading the word, we can find so much of his purpose for our life. We know the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And that's what we start with. But we start by loving God, giving him our worship, our obedience, our intimacy, and loving on him and letting him love on us. And then what about the people he's called us to love? That's the next step of our time investment is the people God's called us to love. First our family, probably first our spouse if we married, and then our family, and then our friends, and the lost, and beyond the lost in our region, the lost of the nations. God's called us to disciple the lost. I love this quote: there is only one thing more precious than time, and that is who you spend it on. And that's so profound, because our time is a precious, precious gift. And there are people who need our love. There's people who need the expression of love that God has put into our hearts. And it takes time to reach them, to love them. And the who we value is the determinant of the priority of our time use. And the who is God first, as we've seen, and then others. And we're all called to pray. We're all called to give. We're all called to serve. We're all called to evangelize. There's another beautiful passage where we find the same word, ex agorazo, Colossians 4, verse 5 to 6. It says this: walk in wisdom to outsiders. Again, that idea of wisdom connected to time. Making the best use of your time. That's ex agorazo. That's the same word. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how you ought to answer each person. And here we see the Bible saying we need to do the same thing. Be assiduous, be wise with the way we use our time, because God has called us to gently and graciously and effectively reach the lost around us. And if they're not a who that we value, we're not going to give them the time. We're not going to give time to preparing ourselves to be able to reach them. We're not going to give the time to the lost world. But God has called us to reach that lost world. And we want to be those people who are using our time well. There's another thing that we need to be. Those are the generals. But we also need to be close enough to God that we hear the specifics. And the specifics might be exactly who. The individual, call them by name. Who, God, do you want me to give some time for, to reach? Who are you ministering in their hearts, and you need me to speak the word of God into their lives? And sometimes that's clear. Sometimes God surprises us with who that is. And the how, and then also the seasons. We're going to look in a moment at the life of Jesus. He was so aware of the seasons in his life. And God is a God who invented seasons, the beautiful rhythms of spring and summer and autumn and winter and spring again. We need to ask God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to use the season. If you've got a family of young, you've got a young family, it's not likely that God's going to call you to the Gaza Strip at the moment. But there might be others that He calls there. And I mean, there's no, you never say never, but we're also wise as to the season. If you've got a family of young kids, it could be this is the season where God uses you to be reaching your kids' friends and their parents. Could be as you instruct your kids, you're instructing others' kids. There's a wisdom as to the seasons. And the beautiful thing is also quite often in one season, God is preparing you for the next season. Now, I know God has spoken to me often about reaching other nations. I thought I would be going. I started to go to Indonesia out of South Africa. And I thought, my heart is for the Muslim nations as well. Well, for the nations, but also for the Muslims. And I thought I'd be going out of South Africa to Indonesia. The door opened. I thought, I'm going to be going off. God was like, no. I've got a totally different plan. I'm sending you to New Zealand. I've got a plan for you there. Indonesia went on to the back burner. But all the time that I was in limbo and then coming to New Zealand, I've still been learning Bahasa Indonesia. It's a season when I'll be able to learn more of the language, and I still believe God's going to take me there. Might be wrong, but I feel like He said it. But not permanently necessarily, but there's going to be an inheritance there. And I would encourage you, be asking God, what do you want to do in this season? What are things that you've spoken over my life that I should be preparing for? Young people, I want to speak to you guys. You don't realize. In your hands, you have something that can be so destructive. It can waste hours of your time. You flick through these little things, these little videos. You know, you flick. You don't even have to pick on them. You can just flick. And I haven't done that often, but sometimes I'm like, I go through about three or four of these things and I go, what am I doing? I could sit here all day. And who knows what algorithm is feeding me some rubbish, whatever. Incredible capacity for time loss and time waste. But you can go to Duolingo and you can learn a language. You can go to YouTube and discover. You can learn New Testament Greek there. There's so much that you can do while you're in the season. Even before God is going to call you out, even before you get your driver's license, you can be prepared for God's destiny for your life. And I'm speaking to us older young people too. Our lives are not over. And there's a lot of exciting stuff that God is going to do before Jesus comes back. We're going to see a world reached. And let's be using our seasons well, preparing our hearts, praying, asking God, who is valuable enough for me to spend this precious commodity of my time? I just realized I've got my timer here, and where I keep track of my half hour. But I just realized it's a nice picture. When that time is up, it's up. Have I chosen my words carefully? Have I used my time well? And the world is ticking down like this. And our lives are ticking down like this. And the mission has a limited time period. May God help us to be wise in how we spend our precious minutes. The other thing that's very specific is special gifts. God gives each of us gifts. And we go back to our Peter scripture, which is the kicking off point of our passage, and it says in Peter, as we know, as each of us have received a gift, use it to serve one another. And God has given each of us special gifts. Not all the gifts are the same. And we're going to go in the coming weeks, and we're going to look at the gifts that are given in the scripture. And going to be seeking God, what is my gift? How do you want me to use? Who do you want me to serve? And we specifically can look into that. But as we wrap this thing up, we're going to first look at Jesus, and we're going to look at a very practical model to help us just with our time management. But Jesus was very aware of his time. If we look at John 7, verse 3 to 6, it says, "So his brother said to him, 'Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. And Jesus said, my time has not yet come, but your time is always here. This was when his brothers didn't believe in him. And he said, guys, if you're not submitted to the will of the Father any time, your time is always here. But he said, no, I've got a different status quo in my life. I'm under the command of the Father. I'm the steward of the time he's given me. He's given me 33 years in this world. And I'm going to fulfill his purpose for my time. So I'm going to wait for God's timing. And I'm going to do things for God. And people often wanted Jesus. They wanted him to come earlier to Lazarus's bedside. And he said, no, that's not the will of God. God's got a better plan. They wanted him to stay longer in their village. And he said, no, that's not the will of God. I have to go to the other villages. And there'll be so many people who want to demand your time. But the only person who really has the right to command your time is God. And a quote I remember Steve Jobs said, he says, you've only got one life to live. Don't live somebody else's. You've only got one God to serve. Don't serve somebody else's will. It's between you and God. And he will tell you how to use your time. This is what it says of Jesus. He says in John 17 verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus came to the point of going to his death on the cross, he said, God, I've done everything you asked me to do. I've glorified you. I've obeyed you. There was enough time for Jesus to do everything, even in his short life. He fulfilled the will of the Father. He didn't waste time on anything that was not vital. He refused the unimportant. He only did what God told him. He only said what God told him to say. And that's the way he could end his life and say, God, I've glorified you. I've accomplished everything. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. And guys, every one of us, we all have exactly the same amount of time. And we all have time to fulfill God's will for our lives. But we have to be careful. We have to plan. We have to be wise at how we use our time. And I just want to use a practical thing that helped me. This is Stephen Covey's quadrant of time management. And there's two axes, importance and urgency. Not important and important, urgent and not important. And then if you just put them into quadrants. So we'll look first at urgent and important. That's what's known as a crisis, okay? And so when that emerges, that's crises, emergencies, pressing problems, and deadline-driven projects. The next quadrant is urgent but not important. And that's where there's interruptions, unimportant emails, calls, some meetings. They're not important. They're not adding that much value to the who you want to spend your time on, the purpose of God. Then you have the not urgent but important. And this is the most important quadrant. This is where you do planning and preparation, training and development, value clarification, relationship development, exercise, and true recreation and relaxation. And then the last quadrant, that's the bad guy. Some emails, some meetings, time wasters, escape activities, aimless internet, self-indulgent perfectionism. And what Stephen Covey says is, he says what we have to do with this first quadrant, you have to manage that. When that stuff happens, you have to deal with it because it's important and it's now. So you've got to deal with it. But then this one, you must, as best you can, delegate and avoid. Don't let urgent things, you get an email from, I don't know, Mitre 10, and it says, come right away to, sorry, Callum, I'm picking, I don't know why Mitre 10 came. Come right away to our special offer sale. It's urgent, but is it important? You go, no, because the temptation is to go, ooh, let me pop down there quickly. No, I'm gonna avoid that if I can. I'm gonna delegate it. I'll send Hannah. And that's what we do with that quadrant. But then the important but not urgent, that's where we should spend most of our time. That's the stuff that's most important. That's the stuff that's adding to our purpose, to our vision. That's the who that we want to spend our time on. That's the skills we want to develop, the language we want to learn. We want to do real recreation, not just mindless stuff, stuff that's really building us up, stuff that we love doing, good exercise, training. The more time we spend in that quadrant, the less time we'll have emergencies. Because our lives will be well planned. Emergencies won't happen as often. And also these things in the other quadrant. And then the last quadrant, the unimportant and the unurgent, that's the one we've got to eliminate from our lives. Because that's the stuff that just gobbles up time in such a waste. And there's so many things that will do that to us. So just some practicalities for us to think about as we budget our time. As we steward our time, we all have to spend time sleeping and eating. We spend time at work, although our work time is also time that God's plan and purpose wants to infuse. And then we have discretionary time. And that's the one that the evil days will try to steal from us. That discretionary time is the time we've got to go, nah, I'm taking that for my king. I'm taking that for my purpose. I'm taking that for the who I love and the mission, and I'm going to use that. And it said that how we use our hours determines whether our life is commonplace or extraordinary. And I don't know about you, but I want the extraordinary in God's purposes. And we want to wisely invest that every moment of our day so that we might live in the abundant life, live in the fullness of what God has for us. This quote probably sums it all up as we come to an end. And I'm on 30 minutes, but I'm going a little bit over. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. So grab the controls and go, this plane is going where I want it to, as I hear from God. We're the one with the controls, but we want our heart, we want to catch the heart of God, the purpose of God for our life, and then we turn life, we bend time to God's will and purpose for our lives. Another quote is, and this is another one, there's some good quotes around this. The way we spend our time defines who we are. That's a good one just to think about. Very, very, very true. Acts 13 verse 36 is this: for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers. How wonderful to rest like that at the end of your life. And even David, for all the messes, look at the redemptive power of God. To be able to say, Lord, I've served the purpose of God in my generation. And now I can go to rest. I can go into eternity. I've turned all that, all the time, the limited time you've given me, I've turned it into gold for all of eternity. I've turned it into eternal rewards. I've turned it into souls, men and women and children, enjoying your presence for all eternity, because I use my time to bring your kingdom. And I walk the streets of heaven and see the people that are there because of my time management and my serving God. And I want us to close with a beautiful hymn, the words of a beautiful hymn. There's so many inspiring thoughts about it, and it really speaks into this whole aspect of stewardship. And the hymn goes like this: take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing only, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be only ever all for thee. Let's bow our heads. Lord, that prayer that we just spoke, Lord, we make that our prayer, Lord. We want to be good stewards of the life that you have given us, Lord. The time, the resources, the gifts. And we want to serve your purpose in our generation, God. So help us as we close in worship, Father. Challenge each one of our hearts to be good stewards of time, Lord. Understanding the time and the seasons, Lord. And living for you. So Lord, we as we declare this final anthem of dedication, I pray that you'll minister to our hearts and help us, Lord Jesus, to redirect, help us to rescue and redeem, to buy up for appropriate uses our time as we plan each day for you, minute by minute. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship. Let's give our hearts to him.